it's time for the audience to get to know us a little bit better, the time we throw open to questions from those who are gathered here to watch us broadcast. And who would have a question they'd like to start this session off with?
This is a feature that I don't cotton to particularly because people oftentimes ask us embarrassing questions, so I hope today you'll ask us sensible questions, please. Okay, now...
I have one, don't mind.
Is there anyone in the audience? How about you?
I have one, yes.
Oh, all right.
When are you going to have the famous Eskimo Dog Act, Muck and Lux, famous Eskimo dogs on your show?
Well,
I think they're great.
I never heard of them, and even if I did, I doubt if we'd ever have them on a program of ours.
Uh-huh.
I just can't see an Eskimo dog act with
Muck. Well, if you ever decide to, I'm Muck. You can get in touch with me if you want to have the dogs on.
I see. All right, sir.
Ray,
continued success in the entertainment field.
I think that sissy-ish looking gentleman there has his hand up in the front row.
How would you like a fat lip, buddy?
That's your question, sir?
Well, not originally. I switched it when you ever started that sissy stuff.
Well, no, I wouldn't like a fat lip. I didn't get a good look
at it. Okay, and my original question was, what's your favorite food, Bob?
Well, I suppose I'd have to say the pizza pie that my wife makes is quite special. She substitutes cream cheese for the mozzarella and orange marmalade for the tomato sauce and white toast for the crust. And it's great that way.
How would you like a fat lip?
Ray, why don't you pick somebody out there?
Okay, let's see.
Who shall we pick?
Him.
Well, no, you have. No, no, nobody with their hand up.
Go ahead.
How about him?
No.
Him, he's all right.
Okay.
You have a question, sir?
Yes. Right now on television, they're showing a lot of silent films. Was there ever a time when we had silent radio?
Yes, the period immediately preceding the invention of the radio was silent. Does that answer your question?
Not entirely. I thought it was a better question.
I think it's better right now if I switch over to this other microphone, the one they say is funny. And we have time for about one more question from someone in our group here. Did you have one, sir? Quickly.
Yes, I wanted to know if either one of you...
Either one of us.
At any time.
At any time, yes.
An Eagle Scout.
Was an Eagle Scout. I never was myself. Ray, how about you? Were you ever an Eagle Scout?
No, I never was.
No, he wasn't.
Fortunately.
That solved the problem
well,
for you?
You didn't ask me.
We didn't have time to ask you, ma'am. And this microphone definitely isn't the funny one, so I think we'd better go back inside.
Why don't you use the other microphone?
It's
they have
too
a
late
tubbier
now.
Sound to them. I like them better.
It's too late anyway now. Welcome now to the new Day in the Sun feature of the Bob Ray program, a feature that gives ordinary people in dull, humdrum jobs their day in the sun. Chance to do what they've always wanted to do, and let's meet our first lucky guest, Miss Ima Goulding from Bismarck, North Dakota.
You any...
What?
Aren't we all, I was going to say, Bob?
Miss Goulding, are you any relation to Ray?
Yes, I am. He asked me to come on. You couldn't get any guests.
Uh-huh. Well, this happens...
I gave you another name to use, do you, idiot?
You look a bit wan. Are you all right?
I'm always pale in the presence of celebrities.
Well, thanks for putting us in that
thanks,
category. Yeah, you've got a trained will. Are there many celebrities to pale you back in Bismarck?
Hundreds of them. They all live around there. There's a big sign as you drive into town that says, "Welcome to Bismarck, where the celebrities hang out a lot."
I never realized Bismarck was a mecca for show folk.
Oh, not only show folk, but authors, painters, politicians.
Now, as I understand it, you are you mix cement. Is that your job back in Bismarck?
I mix cement for the Elbow Prince, front of the Discupti Pakistani Theater there. Bismarck.
For the Elbow Prints. Can you tell us about those?
I don't know if you remember them. Ray probably does, old man Discupti. He buttonholes all the celebs that come to town, and he gets their elbow prints on the sidewalk.
Has this become dull for you? You got bored with elbows, is that it?
No, it's not the elbows so much, but the cement gets me down. Concrete mixing is strictly a man's job, I always say, and a frail person like me, I find it dull, boring,
and... Well, now it's time
exhausting.
For you to tell our listeners what you'd like to do here on your day in the sun.
Well, all my life, I've wanted to be a lady trolley car conductor, Bob.
Yeah?
And drive one of those old trolleys down Main Street with the bell.
Well, I'm afraid that's kind of out of...
What do you mean you're afraid of that? You knew from my Day in the Sun letter that I sent in what I wanted to do.
Yeah, well, we found out
I told you, too, Ray.
See, we only found out that the one trolley line...
Don't drag me in there.
...still around has just been condemned. So we tried to get in touch with you, but you're already on your way.
Well, there's nothing else I'd want to do except maybe sue you for dragging me here in a wild goose chase.
Well, we'll make some kind of a cash settlement, maybe half your expenses and the Day in the Sun plaque, which goes to each of our guests.
All right, Larry, let's go.
Thanks,
go.
Anyway, Miss Ima Goulding, our first guest on the new Day in the Sun series.
Goodbye, Ima. Say hello to Neil. You probably recall that here at the Bob and Ray Show not too long ago, we had Kent Lyle Birdley drop by, one of the great announcers of past years, who has more or less been retired, I guess, for a good many years.
Hello, Ray.
Hi.
Yes, that's right. I have been in semi-retirement for the past 18 or 19 years.
He has been spending his time mostly reading, boning up, so to speak, on information. He's a veritable walking encyclopedia. We thought that he could fit in somewhere in our show if we were to conduct a chatty type program.
Like when we ran up against a sticky subject where we didn't know too much about the subject, we could call on Lyle and he would be here.
In other words, Kent would be the knowledgeable announcer who, if we can't think of the right word or the right phrase, he has that information at his...
Well, hand. I'm happy to try, and it's quite the compliment that you paid me, Ray, to say that I would be, have all of the information available that you might need.
Kent, Bob and I thought we would talk about deciduous trees and fir trees here as a demonstration.
Kind of a kickoff show.
And just see how you could work in, you know, work out, so to speak, on this.
All right, Ray. Well, you just go ahead until you get stuck, and I'll try to help you out.
Bob, I was reading recently where deciduous trees is a phrase. That phrase, deciduous, is not thoroughly understood by a lot of people. I must confess I must be one of them. Kent?
Well, I sure am, too.
Do you have any idea what deciduous trees...
Well, of course, we distinguish the two types, deciduous from the evergreens, right? Your evergreens, your pines, your hemlocks, your spruce. And your deciduous trees, whose leaves drop off in the colder winter months. Your oaks, your elms, your maples, your walnuts.
You sure?
That helps a great deal. Could we get a better subject, one that we might know a little about, so that we wouldn't have to...
Okay, let's see what else we could talk about.
Don't forget your conifers. What?
Don't
I said don't forget your conifers. We don't want to limit the description of trees to just two types, the deciduous.
Kent, you have a quality that gets under my skin.
Have you been drinking, Kent?
I don't think this is going to work out, Kent. If there's one thing I can't stand is a know-it-all, and you're coming through now to me as a big bulbous boar.
If you fellas need me, I'll be down at the corner.
Kent Lyle Birdley, attempting a comeback.
That's not the way he's going to do it.
We have with us today a rather unusual show business personage. Unusual in the sense that we've never had anyone who called himself one on our show before. He's known as Manny the Mime. Tell me, Manny, what's the difference between a mimist and a pantomimist?
Well, a pantomimist is skilled in mimicry, but does not use words, only gestures. From the Latin panto, to be out of breath,
panting, too poop to speak, and the Greek, Mimer. Pantomimer, a panting buffoon who mimics things.
Mm-hmm. Whereabouts in New Jersey are you from? Because your accent gives you away.
Newark.
Wonderful. In other words, you're a mimic.
No, a mime is a mimic with class.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, I don't do Jimmy Cagney, Peter Lorre, and the mimicry of that ilk, which by its mere commonplaceness has become a cliché.
I can imitate Walter Brennan. Would you consider that a cliché?
Quite, and I hope you'll spare us that wonderful experience at the time.
By way of returning the compliment, I'd like to say that you do as good an imitation of a stuffy person as I've ever heard, sir.
Thank you.
But to continue, it would seem to me, by your alleged class act, that you'd entertain a lot of crowned heads as sort of a court jester, is that right?
Well, one time I tried my hand at court jestering, I was a dismal failure. I was up for speeding, and I tried softening the judge with a few of my comic mimes, but it didn't strike him too funny, and he threw the book at me.
Well, judges are known for their dour mane.
You could prove it by me.
If I ever do, I'll cite your case.
Well, I really wouldn't. I've been touring the country without a driver's license, and any undue attention drawn toward me could cause the sudden cancellation of my schedule.
So, let's have you now, and your mime.
Hello, Manny the Mime here. Have you ever noticed when you go to the movies, the picture has different actors in it? I'm sure all of us have. One of my favorites is Jimmy Stewart, and I'd like to mime him now.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Stewart, and it's a great pleasure to be here today.
Wait.
I.
Is that it? The highlight of your classy act?
That's it, Ray. I hope you liked it.
Like it? Not only was your imitation dreadful, but Jimmy Stewart is the tritest, most clichéist of all impersonations. It's the first one any mimic learns.
Well, I hadn't realized it was being done. Does anyone else do Edward G. Robinson? Barry Fitzgerald, Arthur Godfrey?
No, only 99 out of every 100 of them.
Well, you've just put me right under a dark cloud. I'm sorry I ever came today.
On the way out, mime a man leaving a radio studio with his tail between his legs. That should come easy for you, sir.
Now it's time to present another of our Bob and Ray family, and Barry, it's been
some time,
Barry, since we got a chance to chat with you across these microphones, and,
Yes, you sound as bad as an imitator you had on your program once.
Manny the Mime. Is that
I
the one you
so.
Met?
Yeah. I think that was... I forget his name. I dismissed it immediately. He did Jimmy Stewart. You were trying to do Bing Crosby then, weren't you?
Yes.
Well, let's do it. How the Rosemary Clooney.
No, We're not here to do imitations. I wanted to hear about
It's fun. I don't mind doing it. I've had a couple
All right.
of laughs.
All right. Well, Rosemary, what are you going to sing for us first today?
Well, I'd like to sing a little ditty.
No, this is just wrong for us, Mary.
All right.
You said you had a big plan afoot that you're going to tell
us about. Bob, I'm delighted. I don't know how much time you have left right now, but I'd love to remind everybody that I'm rebuilding my inn up in Maine.
Wonderful news. I knew it was something big, and I hardly hoped it would be this again.
Well, yes, we hope to have it open within 8 to 10 weeks.
Wonderful.
If the plumber can buy. He's been holding us up, the plumber.
That'll be, well, they do that at times.
Another fella out there trying to find a well with a dousing rod.
Mm-hmm.
He's holding us up.
Tell us just whereabouts it is so folks can begin to make plans for a visit to Maine this spring or summer and stop in at Mary Magoon's Inn.
Bob, it's located in Turhan Bay, Maine.
Beautiful country up there.
It's lovely.
Wonderful view of the ocean.
We're changing the whole motif of it. Before, it was an old New England type inn. Now, it's
changing.
Going to be more or less modern.
Oh.
We're going to have, although the same genuine home cooking.
Oh, that's good, because that's...
But we're going to be more modern in our approach.
Folks travel miles around for some of those Mary Magoon specialties that came out of your
kitchen.
Have
a slogan, see if you like it.
Hmm?
Mary Magoon's landmark, for those of you who might be hungry about now.
I think that'll really catch on. We'll be following up with progress reports as the weeks go by.
Hello, Dan.
Thank you, Mary Magoon, for coming here to our Bob and Ray microphone.
Thousands of companies across the land are known as government contractors, supplying the nation with everything from mess kit to missiles. Wally Ballou is visiting one of the more unusual companies. Come in, please. Wally Ballou.
Lee Ballou, four-time winner of the Oxford Grammar Award for talking good on the radio, standing here with young Tommy Krieger, production chief of the Stripling Computer Company of Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Tommy is proudly holding in his hand another fat government contract.
Oh, gosh, you're ready. It's not as fat as the last one we got, though.
Well, it looks pretty fat from here. I'd say about 150 pages of fine print.
Jeepers, the last one was about 200 pages. But I guess, being as they know it better, they could cut out a lot of legal phony baloney stuff about
statutory verbiage.
Yeah. That's...
Well, looking about me here, it's a scene of panoramic youth busily tending to the nation's needs.
Well, we're proud of being kids, Wally. We range in age from 8 to 16 years old, and upon our 17th birthday, it's automatic retirement bill for us.
On a pension?
Oh, no, it's an allowance. $1.18 a week for life.
I see. Well, what I wanted to ask you was, how did a bunch of kids manage to snare a large government contract?
Well, we were low bidders. On account we don't have to pay many salaries. And all the kids are co-owners. We're plucking all the profits into a big kitty to build our own amusement park.
Well, that's a wonderful idea. What's it going to be called?
Well, Adultland. It's going to have all the things adults have. Excuse me a second. What is it, Barnaby?
Jimmy Partner's mommy is on the phone, and she says Jimmy can't come to work today because he won't make his bed.
Tell her I'd like to talk to her.
She says she wouldn't talk to you because you're a rotten kid.
Yeah? Tell her I'll fire Jimmy so that he can stay home every day and nag her. That'll get him here.
Do you have much trouble with your health, Jimmy?
We scrap a lot.
Suppose it's bound to happen with a couple of hundred unsupervised children making high-velocity digital computers.
Hold it! We don't make high-velocity digital computers. We make an advanced abacus that the Air Force uses in case they have a loss of electric power and have to figure something out.
You folks hear that? The abacus, ancient adding machine of the Orient, has been modernized by American youthhood. Tell us, Jimmy, what's so advanced about your abacus?
The plural of abacus is abacuses, not abacuser.
Right.
And they're advanced abacuses because beads are in all kinds of pretty colors and shapes and like that.
That's a refinement of the old abacus.
Abacuses. Not abacus.
Mrs. Portnoy was right. You're a rotten kid, and with that, this is Wally Ballou.
Don't you want to hear about our contract to make tiny gyroscopes that fit in the helmets of infantrymen who fall
down a lot? Gyroscopes. It's gyroscopes. And now back to our main studio. Time now for another in the series of Bob and Ray Announcer School broadcasts with... Wally Ballou handling it today. I think the subject is interviews of celebrities, right?
That's right, Bob. And we have young Arthur Schreck here with us. Arthur, say hello to everybody.
How do you do, everybody? It's a real pleasure to be here right now saying hello to you on these microphones. Wally Ballou, it's always a pleasure to appear opposite you, and I hope that the folks listening at home will enjoy it as much as I
Arthur,
do. And I know,
that somebody told you that you never should allow any dead air to creep into your broadcast, but...
That's right, Wally. That was the first thing I realized many years ago. That dead air, sometimes people think the power's blown down. They change...
But you see, the way you talk...
I've gone right along and try to maintain a constant pace. Try to keep your voice...
Arthur, you make people nervous because they don't hear you take any breath. You just keep talking without the normal breaks.
Well, I have a very good control of my breathing, and that came back many years ago. You see, I used to be a professional balloon blower-upper before they had the little gas gadgets, and that's why I can go on today and talk for 10 or 15 minutes.
Just making me terribly nervous sitting here listening to you, that we did want to get to the portion of the lesson which has to do with interviewing celebrities.
Wally, I understand that you're a great teacher, and I'm here to learn. That's why I want to sit and listen and to absorb everything you have to say. I know that if I'm going to go out and interview important people...
All right, then. Would somebody in the audience like to come up here and play the part of the mayor of the town? We'll do a sample interview, and I'll show you some of the tips I've picked up in 28 years of radio broadcasting.
Would you like a lady mayor, or would that be tough?
I don't see any gentleman with his hand up ready to come up here, so... All right, we'll take you, ma'am. You'll be the mayor. Now, Arthur, I want you to listen to how I do this. A few tips before
we start.
Get
out of my office.
A lady mayor with a sense of humor. The way we do this...
I wasn't listening, Wally. Just what do you want me to ask the lady mayor now?
First of all, you got to remember that you never want to repeat an answer that the lady gives you. You always want to have a question ready. I'll ask you a question, ma'am. I'll show you what I mean, honey.
All right.
Mrs. Mayor, or Mr. Mayor,
How do you think that the recent local...
What do you mean, Mr. Mayor?
Well, I'm just calling you that, lady, so we can show this demonstration to Arthur.
All right, Miss Ballou, go right ahead.
This is Mayor. How do you feel the result?
Mrs., you hit it. This is Edgar F. Mayor.
Oh, you are Mrs. Mayor, then.
I am, yes.
And, are you having a good time here at the program?
I'm having a lovely time.
Having a lovely time. Wonderful. Well, that's a sample, Arthur. Would you like to take over and try it a little bit yourself, or do you think you want a little more
practice? That'll be fine. Miss Mayor, I want to ask you a few questions. Before you do, I'd like you to grab hold of your desktop, because I think these are very, very serious questions, and questions that I think you've been avoiding for a long, long time.
Take a breath.
I can't stand him. He'll never make out.
Well,
never.
It's too late now anyway, Wally. Our time is up, but maybe you can prepare a lesson.
Well, how about
week.
Sports? Maybe that's where I belong. I'm playing the broadcasting booth high above, a cheering throng.
All right, maybe that's
it. What's going on down below.
Maybe that's it, Arthur.
Maybe I should take up sports.
All
my
right.
Friends, this is...
Drop back again next week, will you?
All right.
Well, I guess it's time to take our portable microphone and step off the great stage here down into our studio audience. Let's see who we'll choose for our first chat.
Him, me.
Oh,
I
talked to you
about
last
me.
Week.
Him.
Him? All right.
Me.
Not you. Him. I think we decided on him. You, sir, you are here. With a group of conventioners, I tell by that button on your lapel.
That's right.
You are a calendar maker?
We're a group of calendar manufacturers, Bob, and we get together every year just after we make our deliveries. And it's all over. I mean, the year is up, and the new calendars are being used. What we do now is sit down and go over our lists of pictures and set scenes for next year's batch.
Of course, you work way ahead. I suppose already you've got next year's pretty well planned out. Will there be anything new that we can look forward to in calendars next year? I mean, the dates are going to be pretty much the same.
Yes, I think...
The pictures will be about the only thing that could change, right?
We have more or less stuck to a set pattern on our pictures. We will employ fall scenes with covered bridges in New England.
Who would go for that now, for instance?
Well, I mean, oddly enough, a funeral director might like that.
Uh-huh.
And an insurance man might like that.
Yes.
Then we have scenes of water in the ship. We've discovered that a sea land seascape, I believe you artist fellows would call it.
A marine landscape, we call it.
But with an old ship.
Yes.
Schooner type.
Galleon.
What's that?
A galleon.
Mr. Galleon, you want to come up and
no,
talk
no,
to
I
him?
Meant a ship.
Oh, yes. Galleon. Well, Mr. Galleon, oddly enough, yes. Is vice president of our organization.
Is that so? Well, maybe I should have talked to him instead of you. You're the circulation manager, I guess.
That's right. Now, we have discovered, of course, four garages, you're pretty women, pretty girls.
Oh, yes. Well, that'll
you're pulchritude crude. We'll still
you're,
be
you're
there.
You're what?
You're pulchritude.
You're pulchritude, I think.
Pulchritude.
Yes, the lady is right. Pulchritude.
That's all?
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, they'll be there. At the garages this year as they were last year, over in back of the spark plug cleaner.
Well, it'll be interesting now that we've talked to you to see some of your handiwork in the way of calendars. And as long as you can't tell us anything particularly more interesting about it, I wonder if Mr. Galleon could add anything. Mr. Galleon, has your man covered the situation?
He's covered...
Oh, I see. Right.
He's covered...
Okay, Ray, take it away back there on
look,
the big stage.
Look, he's covered it. Plenty he's covered it. He left out something, but he covered it.
Another of life's embarrassing little moments coming to life now as we stop in at a neighborhood supermarket.
So, Val, what's new anyway?
Oh, nothing much, Fred. I just figured I'd get the shopping done, get home early.
How's the message?
Oh, great. How's yours?
Oh, great. See, you painted your house the other day.
Yeah, I got that all fixed up.
Well, I'm lucky in that respect. I have, so much stone and all. I just
know you
have trim to do and all.
Yeah, well, I remember when you did it. Yeah. I helped you out there last summer when you did it.
Yeah, you're working overtime, too, aren't you, here?
Mm.
See your car coming home late at night. That's
yeah,
great,
busy,
great.
Busy.
Friday night, Bertha wanted to know if you and Madge could come over.
Well, I think so.
Come over and we'll shoot the breeze.
Sure. Like to, and I'll ask Madge just as soon as I get home.
Come anytime after 7, as soon as the kids are all in bed, you know?
You know, we were talking about the other day is maybe we can take that summer vacation place we had last year, you know, the cottage for the four.
See if we could get it again. Wouldn't that be great?
Oh, wonderful spot.
Yeah, the kids had a wonderful time. Wonderful time.
Hey, didn't realize what time it was. I got a check for $12.50. I'd like to cash in, Fred.
Okay, personal?
Yeah.
See, that's over $10, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it was so late, actually.
Hold it just a second.
Attention, please. Attention, please. This is checkout area 3. We have a person who says his name is Malcolm E. Fledge.
That's
the signature on a personal check for $12.50.
Hey, Fred.
We would like two witnesses.
Two witnesses.
Would you come look at the person at checkout 3
wearing
a dark coat, gray hat, and unshined brown shoes? He stands about 5'10", blue eyes, weighs about 185 pounds.
Hey, Fred.
About 5'11". Would you please come to checkout area 3? He wants to cash a check for $12.50.
Fred, what do you have to do? You've known me for 15 years. What's all this?
Clam up, buddy. It's over 10 fish, isn't it?
Well, sure, it's $12.50, but... Oh, this is kind of embarrassing.
I don't see anyone coming around. I'm sorry. I'll,
Well, look, could I call the boss, have him verify it, or...
I can't go to the boss and tell him that I have a follow.
I know, but you
don't
know.
Kid, let me finish. I can't go and say I have a fellow here who wants to check cash for $12.50. There is a regulation.
You have rules. I know you have rules.
I
tell you what, Fred. Can you lend me $12.50?
Attention, please. He's back down now. He doesn't want the personal check cash.
Try
to borrow $12.50 from me.
Look, you know
we
I'm
do not
Fred,
need
Fred.
Witnesses. We do not need witnesses. He is borrowing the money from me.
Hmm. Well, can I have it?
Sure, here you are.
Well, thanks a lot. I'll see you Friday then.
Right. Say hello to Bertha.
Okay.
Or Madge. You of. Certainly boats and water and lighthouses. Here on page 12 of Bob and Ray's personality sketchbook, we're writing in the name of Captain Caleb Fremont, an old grizzled lighthouse keeper who is here at our microphones now to answer a few questions about lighthouse keeping.
Well, thank you, Ray and Bob, and I'd just like to say that sound really does kind of make me nostalgic for the old house.
Your lighthouse is some mile and a half offshore, and I wonder if you could tell us just how long you've lived at the lighthouse and how you overcome ennui or boredom out there.
Well, man and boy, actually, for some 32 years. 32 years as man, about 18 years as boy.
Certainly by now, truly, a grizzled old lighthouse
keeper. Yes, well, I've wound up those stairs a good many times and wound down same way.
Mm. Do you have any favorite? By that I mean, do you like the foghorn or the lights better, or do you care one way or the other?
Of course, it's a lonely existence out there. Actually, I'm one of the few remaining manually operated houses. Lately, of course, automation has come into the picture, and the lights are run mechanically so that they don't require a man up there all the time.
So, a fellow like you, a grizzled lighthouse keeper, is becoming a disappearing breed, so to speak.
Extinct, almost.
Yep.
But it still gives you pride to keep the light polished. And you ask me what I like best, I don't know. I think probably the sound of the foghorn itself on a foggy night.
Well, I imagine that has a nostalgic sound to you.
Sending out its signal of safety to the mariners on the high seas.
Captain Caleb Fremont.
May not even be able to see the light as it turns round and round in the top of the lighthouse.
Captain Caleb Fremont has raised a family a mile and a half offshore, And by a rowboat, I guess, you took the kids to school in the morning.
Yes, every day.
Brought them back home in the afternoon. And you've been there how many years again?
32 and 18. Make it 50 years.
50 years, certainly. A grizzled lighthouse keeper indeed. Well, Captain, thank you for coming by.
I
know this is
you.
Your day off, isn't it?
That's right, Ray.
And what are you going to do today?
I'm going out and get grizzled, I guess.
Right. Page 12 of Bob and Ray's personality sketchbook, Captain Caleb Fremont.
Here with us, once again, after rather a stormy last month, with probably one of the biggest flops Broadway has ever seen, is Mr. Barry Campbell. Barry, you're planning a comeback. You've got yourself lined up for a job, you told me, and that's the reason we asked you to come on the air today and kind of fill us in.
That's right. My movie has been a tremendous bomb. It was,
closed that night, didn't it, when you...
I took a, not so much myself, but my friends and relatives took such a financial bath, so to speak, that we'll be years getting out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was another case of my misgauging what the public wants at a particular moment. I goofed.
Have you ever thought of giving up entertainment as a career in any form?
No.
Going into something like insurance or...
Well, I had, you know, that...
How about the doctor field or something like that?
Well, I'm too old now to start into school again, but I did, you recall, one summer have that custard ice cream truck.
Yes, well, that wasn't any more success than... evidently, everything you touch kind of...
Turns to...
kind of folds up in your hands.
I'm turning to something now that will be solid for me, will ensure me a steady... income, which has probably been my biggest trouble.
Well, that's what we're
trouble.
Looking forward
I've had
to.
My ups and downs and my peaks and my valleys. Now, the missus was telling me to straighten out the peaks and valleys or get out altogether.
I see. And you've just taken a position as a Hollywood stuntman, is that right?
Well, a particular type, Bob. I'm specializing in falling downstairs and...
Well, our time is running a little... A little bit short. I understand you have the padding on that you wear under your clothes there.
Bob, I'm going out to Hollywood tomorrow. I'm playing the part of a very wealthy banker who's loaded.
Mm-hmm.
Stiff, that is. And he trips at the top of the stairs at his mansion.
Falls the whole flight.
Falls the whole thing.
We have constructed a set here.
Okay,
in the studio.
I'll go on up.
All right, if you will, Barry.
Tell me. I can't tell when to go, Bob. Just yell.
I'll tell you as soon
all
as
right.
I've set the thing up. We have a flight of about... 22 steps, I believe. A good flight running the height of a floor and a half. And Barry is going to demonstrate his technique of falling down this flight, showing us how he'll be doing it in the movies. You'll be seeing him do it, although you won't know it's him. Barry, can you hear me? Are you up there yet? Can you hear me up there, Barry?
Very faintly.
Okay. Barry Campbell has reached the top of this flight of 22 steps, and in just a moment I'm going to give him the signal to demonstrate this remarkable talent for falling. Okay, Bear, anytime. Barry Campbell has fallen the full 22 steps here, and he's now rolling over. Barry?
Don't.
I wonder if...
Don't touch me.
No, I know that's the first rule.
Don't touch me. Get a doctor.
Right. And we'll check back.
Stand back and let me get air.
Would you let me out to the telephone, please? Sorry about this, folks.
Well, hi again, everybody. Here at Bob and Ray's personality sketchbook, a person you haven't seen or heard from in a long time. And naturally, we haven't either. Welcome back to our microphones, Wilbur Feely.
Thank you very much, sir. Ray and Bob, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, you seem very nervous, Wilbur.
Well, I've always been nervous. You may have remembered when I was in the bomb deactivating business, I was nervous.
Yeah, I understand.
And I did that, of course, just for...
Just a second. This jumping and ducking your head and neck and pulling away is...
I never used to do that, did
it's
I?
It's a reflex type of movement. Now, where did
That's
you ever
right.
get this
I got it with this new job that I have, working for the great Bolo.
the great Bolo, isn't he a clown who plays cartoons on TV?
No, no, this is a fellow who has a knife-throwing act.
Oh, and,
I'm the target for him.
For goodness
sake. He feels it makes the act look better to have a live person there.
Well, why did you turn to this type of work?
The insurance company beefed about my...
Bond deactivating.
Bond deactivating.
And you...
Said I should get into something safer.
Yeah. You're making me nervous, right? Well, do you think something safer is being a target for the great Bolo, who is known to be very erratic?
It was the only thing I could do, Ray.
Would you get me the theater book encyclopedia, please? Because I want to... It seems to me that he has gone through five or six human targets
since
1954.
That's what he told me.
Huh?
That's what he told me, yeah.
Uh-huh. And they all seem to... they all quit, did he say?
He didn't say whether they quit or not.
He just said that... They're not with him anymore.
Not with the act anymore, he says.
Don't do that, please, Wilbur. Well, have you told the insurance company that you're with?
No, I'm on my way over to see them now to get the new policy signed.
Good. Well,
I think they'll be happy to know that I'm working again.
Well, Wilbur, I don't know, but I would say this, that the insurance company is going to be very, very unhappy with your new line of work. Seems to me...
I certainly hope not.
I don't think they're going to think that this is one bit safer than deactivating bombs.
We'll just see about that.
What you do all summer?
I worked at a golf driving range, picking up golf balls out there, you know.
Oh, boy. Wilbur Feely in our personality sketchbook. What would you sign your name, Wilbur?
Yes. Kind of shaky writing.
Oh,
I don't know.
I could never make that out. I could never make out Wilbur Feely. No, no, no. So long, Wilbur.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Rick.
Now it's time for a few interviews here in the audience, and we have a great group with us today. How about you, ma'am? You look as if you're quite exuberant and giggly and happy.
I would like to ask...
Ask us anything you want, because we're here to allot this time to answer.
I wonder...
Well, come on now. You'll have to straighten up if you want to... What is it you want to ask? Well, what is the matter with you, ma'am?
Well, I always get giggly in front of famous people, although I've never met anyone.
Thanks for putting us into the famous category.
That's so silly.
Try to get a hold of yourself. We'll come back to you later. Anybody else have any questions?
I do.
All right.
A friend of mine really sold me a bill of goods. He told me to buy a copy of your new book, Linda Lovely and the Fleabag.
Oh, yes, yes.
And
that's not so new now.
No. But I thought it was a real bomb.
Uh-huh.
Now, what should I do about it?
Have you tried brooding about it, sir?
No, I haven't. And have you ever tried reducing the swelling on a fat lip?
No, but if you want to wait around till after the show and see our complaint manager, Slugsy Swenson, I'm sure he'll be happy to make some sort of adjustment for you.
I read it, Bob and Ray, that book he speaks of.
Oh, yes?
And I think it's an outstanding contribution to... contemporary American literature.
Thank you, sir. Your good taste is only exceeded by your plain appearance. Now, if that lady is, with the giggles, has composed herself, I will come back to you, ma'am. Right?
Wait a minute. That gentleman back there has his hand up. Bob, would you stand up, sir?
Is it Bob or Ray who owns the vintage 1923 Bugatti convertible?
It belongs to Webley Webster.
Webley Webster, right.
Our educational director.
Well, is he here now?
Sure am. Would you like me to tell you all about my Bugatti?
No, I'd like to have you move it. It's triple parked and has the traffic on 49th Street backed up for four blocks.
Oh, I'm sorry, officer. I was in kind of a hurry.
You'll have to come along with me. I'd like to see your driver's license, too, mister.
You call me Webb. Always
that's too bad about Webb. It's the fourth one this week. And I don't think there's enough time left for that nice lady's questions.
Well.
We'll have to make it some other time, man, I guess. Could you quickly ask us what...
How much do you and Ray make a week?
Together or separately?
Both together.
Well, it's none of your business, ma'am. And I see our time is up, so...
Well, I need to have that information. See, I'm a lady estate planner, and I have a little policy here.
Well, we're well taken care of.
It will enable you and Ray to retire at a very early age with an income that's considerable.
Yeah.
And it'll only cost a few dollars.
A few dollars a week.
Now,
well, I think we're...
I you to sit down with me for
yeah. I think our affairs are well
hours.
Taken care of.
I could explain in simple terms...
Oh, you got serious all of a sudden, ma'am, when you got
well,
control of those giggles.
Yeah. Now, do you see, this is our actuary
yeah.
table.
Look, can we take
here.
This up later? We've got to go back to...
All right, would you come right back out?
A new feature this week, Ray, one that is very near and dear to our hearts, I'm sure, and we hope will be to folks listening in, and that is the time when we reunite old friends, or in this particular case, two relatives who haven't seen each other for some time.
This is a new feature, and if it works out nicely today, then you can look forward to many more of these.
Would you please, audience, give a great big round of applause for a lady from Encino, California, Miss Carmela DeFarge. Welcome, Mr. DeFarge.
Thank you very much.
Really a thrill to have you here and to know that in just a little while we're going to surprise you with...
You are?
...a member of your family that you haven't seen for, well, pretty close to... 50 years, I think. 45.
Well, I arrived, and I want to thank you for the bus ride. It
well,
was lovely.
We wanted you to have a good trip here, and we
I'm
hope
still
you...
wearing this small baby orchid that
uh-huh.
was given to me as I left Encino by your man.
Have your accommodations at the Bob and Ray Hotel here in Big Town been comfortable for you?
So far, there's only the one blanket in the room. I don't know whether you know that or not.
No, I didn't.
A thin blanket.
Time's a-wasting, Miss Carmela DeFarge, and we want you now to meet for the first time in 45 years your elder brother from Le Havre, France, Monsieur Yves DeFarge. Bonjour, Monsieur DeFarge. Carmela, do you remember Yves?
No, well, he's older than me. He must be 20 years older than me.
Qu'est-ce qu'il dit?
He said, what did you say? He evidently, he just speaks no English, is that right? Where are our assistants? Did we get a translator? It's apparent, this gentleman...
We don't have any translator. I think he's...
Don't
you speak English, Yves?
Qu'est-ce qu'il dit? She said, do you speak English?
I don't know.
Parlez-vous anglais?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, no.
Mm. Well, anyway, how's the last 4.5 decades been going for you?
Je ne parle pas l'anglais. Well, this
I mean,
rather embarrassing for us after all of this expense. Mr. DeFarge was flown here first class on Plummet World Airlines.
He was flown first class?
Yeah, well, he had to get here from Le Havre, France.
Well, I had to get here from California.
Je ne comprends pas rien.
Good grief.
He doesn't understand anything that's going on.
I came on a Conestoga wagon, practically.
Well, I'm afraid that we have made another...
Well, look, I'm going to run along. So long, Yves.
Yves, if you'd just go back to
waiting for him to take him right to International Airport.
Wonderful.
To return him to his native France.
Plummet World Airlines Terminal, and good luck to you, Yves LaFarge. And thanks for being here for this...
I wonder, could that car take me over to the bus?
We'll try to arrange that if you don't mind riding in the same car with your brother.
I want to get back as quickly as possible.
All right, thank you, Mr.
Darn, too.
Once again with the theme Old MacDonald Had a Farm, played on the recording by his wife, we present Dean Archer Armstead, head of the Lackawanna, New York Field Station and director of Bob and Ray Agriculture Products. Dean, what's the good word from Ms. Armstead?
Well, I'm here from a mutual friend. She's down the hill to Columbia, riding around on a mule owned by some coffee farmer down there.
Oh, that's all. She's really traveling.
She had the nerve to write to me just about 10 days ago. At the fuel station for money.
For money? From you? For
you won't get a nickel out of me. I'd
well,
just bring right on a bed of poison ivy.
I
wouldn't
understand.
Give her a nickel.
Well, Dean, let's not go into your personal problems here.
You bought it.
You're going to present some sort of an experiment that you've been working on at the fuel station, is that
right? Yes. We discovered at the fuel station, Bob, that Pickens respond to authority. By that, we can pick for...
Take orders, you mean?
Orders, and it helps. You wouldn't... see, there are the Vulture family, Bob. They need discipline.
Yes.
They're vultures at heart.
What are we going to see and hear in the way of chicken commands?
I have a tape recording.
A tape recording, yes.
That we're going to hear. We use Charlie Hassabwee. Mm-hmm. Now, he's a former sergeant in the armor.
Oh, a drill instructor, kind of. Does he use foul language on these chickens?
No, he's I didn't know that you cracked jokes, Bob and Ray. No, but you'll see just how he controls these chickens and how he gets more eggs.
All right, can we see this demonstration as Drill Sergeant Charlie Hassabibi from inside the chicken house gives the orders to these chickens?
Fall in, let's go. All the fowl and coupes, line up. Would the guide hold up his wings so the others can fall in beside him? Okay, fall in, let's go.
Well, this is amazing. Right. They're standing at attention.
That line. Okay,
pretty
ready?
Much at attention.
Quiet. Okay. At ease. Now listen, chickens. When I give you the command, you're to jump up into the nest that you'll see right in back of you and lay eggs at the count of 1, 2, 3, 4. Is that clear? Any questions in there? Now, prepare to jump into nest. Jump. You're all right. At ease, at ease, at ease in there. At ease. Now, let's prepare to lay eggs. Ready? Lay eggs. Hup, hup, hip, hood, hup, hup, hip, hood. Now, any chicken there who didn't lay an egg indicate by clucking once. Would you, please?
What
a fine bunch of chickens you are.
About every one of them.
Now, let me tell you something. We're going to stay here all night. Till we get some eggs. Now let's get on the ball. I've got all night. I haven't got any
all
place
right.
to go, you
can
know.
Can you cut the line
here
to
we
the
go.
Chicken house, please? Dean, that sounds like a pretty chicken outfit to me.
Bob, I had no idea that you were a comedian.
Oh, actually, how is the military technique working out at the field station?
Well, we've found it not working too well. It's still experimental, as you know. You see, you get one bad and really quicken, and he can ruin a whole outfit, a whole flock. They become an undisciplined mob.
Well, Dean, I'm terribly sorry.
Boy, I hope she falls off that mule.
You have been listening to the director of Bob and Ray Agriculture, Dean Archer Armstead, head of the Lackawanna, New York field station.
Wally Ballou is stationed at one of New York's newest and most complete canine headquarters. It's called Mutt-O-Rama. Come in, please. Wally Ballou.
Lee Ballou from the Swank Mutt-O-Rama, located on New York's Park Avenue, and chatting with the founder of this unusual institution, which gives complete dog service from A to Z, Mr. Hiram Henslinger. Hiram, if I may call you that, we're standing right now, I understand, in the canine clothing and jewelry department.
That's right, Mr. Ballou. Here you can spend anything from a few cents up to several hundred dollars on collars for your dog and dog coats and gowns.
Really amazing.
We have, as you can see, lovely imported silks for the girl dogs. We have some conservative tweed coats for the males. We have shoes here made by, I won't mention his name, prominent bootmaker.
Uh-huh.
The fabrics range all the way from the drip dries up to vicunas. And they're all designed exclusively for us by the famous Izzy of Paris.
Yes, and I was noticing particularly these rain booties that you have for the keep the doggies' feet dry.
Yes.
They're lined in cashmere, aren't they, for
yes,
winter?
Yes, that's right. They're winter booties because dogs don't like to get their feet wet any more than you do, Mr. Ballou.
And, of course, this dog perfume that seems to be quite popular, lap pole number 5. This is the beauty parlor we're stepping into now, Department 2. What goes on here, Harry?
Well, we have...
Hiram, brother.
That's all right. We have here beside the clipping, we have a staff of plastic surgeons who can do nose bobs and ear jobs, tail jobs.
Well, what's the newest thing in dog hairdos, Hiram?
Your poodle cut is the most popular right now.
Uh-huh. I thought the poodle cut was always popular.
Well, never on Irish setters or Airedales or Cocker Spaniels or English Sheepdogs. They weren't.
How about the wire-haired terriers?
Can't do much with that. You can't do much with it.
Uh-huh.
Iron it.
One of the most amazing features of Monorama is the breeding kennel.
We've developed a new breed for people who want a watchdog with a good loud, vicious bark, but do not want such a big animal around the house. Now, most of your smaller breeds have a bark that wouldn't frighten a bunny rabbit.
Uh-huh.
We've developed a miniature dog with a big, spooky bark. Would you bring Brutus out, please?
Yes, I will, Harold.
Here he comes. You like him?
Say, yes. He looks like a Pekingese, ladies and gentlemen. He's about 8 inches high. Strictly a lap dog type. Can you get him to bark for us so we can hear him?
Yes.
Bark?
Make him bark, will you, Luther?
Wow. Boy, that's really big dog fighting power and compact dog economy and convenience. Sorry, we don't have time right now to visit the canine furniture department, but I understand they sell everything from doggy four-poster beds to tiny kitchen sets. However, we will return a little later to attend the session of the Monorama Dog Obedience School, so stay tuned.
Come on up on the fifth floor, Mr. Ballou, up to our cafeteria. I'll treat you to a bite to eat.
Wonderful.
Make the bone gravy.
Well, time now to return to Mutarama on Park Avenue and Wally Ballou.
Mutarama, again, speaking with Hiram Hensinger, who is the founder of this dog institution. We had a delicious meal a while ago, Hiram. I do want to thank you for that.
Glad you enjoyed it.
And now we're about to listen to one of America's leading canine educationalists, Professor Yvette Shatner, teaching a class of dog owners and their dogs obedience commands.
The white French poodle with the show cut, please sit down.
You're talking to me, Peach?
Well, are you the white French poodle or aren't you?
I'm Mr. Wilberforce. My dog's name is Ace.
Well, sit down anyway.
Okay.
All right. Will the German shepherd come out, please, in the center of the room now?
Yeah, boys.
All right. Fine. Now, you all notice how he came right out with the dog. Will the black Scotty dog come out?
Good, Mom. All right, you will.
Now, the Mexican Chihuahua.
See?
And the Great Dane, sit down.
Yeah, dog. All
right. Now, the English Bulldog come out, please. Now, just a moment. Let the German Shepherd return, the Mexican Chihuahua go back, and would the Afghan Hound come out? All right, and give the command to sit and to stay.
When are we going to get our forecast?
Well, when dogs perform badly, that means dogs flunk, you know.
I guess I got a few more weeks to go, huh?
Mm. All right, I think that's about... All right, now, Hugh. That's it. Good boy. Sit, stay. Sit. Will the boxer please come out?
Can you tell us what you're doing right now, Miss Shatner? Our time is running a little bit short, I'm afraid.
What command should I give for my Saint Bernard when he goes for somebody?
Tell him to drop dead. I'm quitting this. I've never worked with a group of stupid people like this.
Well,
this is the dumbest class of dogs I've ever had.
Miss Shatner seems to have an unruly class here. So as a bedlam to get the great... Returning it to that dog off his ankle. Thank you, Jose. And here we are ready to talk to some more folks who are passing by on tour of our Bob and Ray studio. How about you, sir? Would you like to chat with us for a minute or two? No, he's signaling that he'd rather not. That's your wife? No, huh? How about this man over here?
Thank you, Roger.
I'm sorry, I didn't notice there.
What?
Handcuffed to the other fellow. You, sir. Could we just chat for a minute or two? This is our kind of...
Are you on the air?
Good neighbor time.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, sure. I'd be delighted.
What do you like best about New York City?
Oh, I guess the part I like best is there are hundreds of ways of getting out of New York. I mean, you can go across the George Washington Bridge or the 59th Street Bridge. You go through tunnels, trains, airplane. You can go north up through the Bronx, Yonkers, White Plains, up that way, Mount Vernon.
Of course.
You can go over to Staten Island. You can go out through the Narrows. You can 100 ways.
Oh, I've heard there are some 20 or 22 bridges that Manhattan is connected to other places by.
Right.
Well, something like that. Which one would you take by choice to get out of the city?
Helicopter.
Mm-hmm. That would be the quickest for you. Do you plan to be here long, or are you just...
I'm going to be here, the judge told me, for at least 10 to 15 years.
Uh-huh. Would you care to give us your name? I suppose you would.
I'd rather
those,
not.
Conditions.
No.
I hope your stay is a pleasant one. I think you'll enjoy
it. Funny how you had us wrong. You thought he was the cop, didn't you?
That's right.
Or you thought I was the cop.
I thought you were,
yeah.
That he was...
you can't tell by looks.
No, I guess not. Do you have any plans for escape on the way up the river?
I have a couple, yeah. But I don't want to talk about it now because Big Ears is listening, you know.
Uh-huh. Well, I...
Well, I enjoy your program, or I did. I used to a lot.
Well, I hope you still will be able to.
I hear they have radios there.
Uh-huh, and the food is supposed to be excellent.
Makes its own gravy, I hear.
So, sir, if, when you do get out, if you'd come and look us up, we'll try to put all of our resources together and help you to get back and rehabilitated.
Bob and Ray, you'll be pretty old bucks by the time I come back here. See ya.
Okay, sir, and on that happy note, that concludes our tour interviews for today. Back inside the Central Control Bureau Headquarters, National.
Now, for the next few minutes, if we may, we'd like to answer some of the letters that have come into us in the past week. I think this letter that comes from California probably is the most pressing one of the moment. They're wondering if we could come out there. There's a get-together of a group of a club of some sort.
Yes.
That would like to know if we could come out and spend a weekend with them. It's one of our old organizations. It's the Hedgehog Association of Southern California.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize
you're
on the air.
I don't know. Is folks have ever met you before? This is Herb, or Herbert, as his mother calls him. He's our helper.
That's all right.
We, did you see any of the other mail? There's only 3 or 4 pieces here.
There's a whole bit down under your desk.
Yeah.
So I'll up the lobby so you can go get it.
I don't. By the time you go down and come back, Herb.
Well, it'll take a minute.
All right.
Go ahead if you can do it before we get up here. All right.
Well, if you folks are listening out there in California, no, we can't because that one weekend, there's a conflict here because Bob's going to get a haircut that weekend, and I...
Pile of it. Boy, you get back here real fast.
How'd you do it so quickly, Herbert?
It's okay.
Yeah, thank you. Herb has been with us a little less than a month now, and believe me, this...
I just ran down and ran back up again with it.
He's been with us,
Sit down, You feel better, Herb?
Less than a month.
No,
here's a fellow who gets things done. What's new and exciting? I see,
A fellow pretty near got hit by a truck when I was coming in.
Really? Where about?
Just missed him by that much.
3 feet, huh?
Ooh. Everybody yelled at him when he got out of the way.
Bob, I wonder if you could put your haircut off to another weekend.
What weekend was that, Ray? So...
Next August. Next August.
Well, I could have it maybe in September or get it in July. I don't really, it doesn't make that much difference to me.
Look around. Let me see if you'll need a haircut by then.
Who, me?
Yeah, you too, Herb.
Well, you'll need one, Herb. I don't have as much
hair. Where do you get your haircut, Herbert?
Herb?
Oh, Herb.
Huh?
Herb, we just asking. Where do you get your haircut?
Well, asleep. Minute.
I wonder, could you run downstairs and see if...
I just ran down and brought it right back up.
No, I know you did, but I'm talking about something else now, about the car and the parking
meter. Oh, I missed him by that much. Everybody yelled at him, and but he got out of the way, all right.
Do you know what kind of car I have, Herbert?
No, but I can find it if you tell me where it is.
It's a blue one, and it's down on 6th Avenue. I wonder if you'd run down and put a nickel in it.
Sure thing, Ray. Yeah, I'll get that. He's probably really one of the most helpful people we have, and trustworthy is... the best word I can think of for Herbert.
He really gets things done, and he's fun to be with, as you can all see and understand.
He could make it. Okay.
So towed away?
Huh?
Was it towed away?
It's towed away, but I put the money in just the same.
Just as they pulled it away?
This is by that much.
Thank you, Herbert, our new helper.